took a turn in the book of Romans, a turn from the depravity of man and the inability for man to earn favor with God. And we looked at how then we can be redeemed. As we think about man's beginnings, your beginnings when you were born, your inability to please God, how then are we saved? And what is God's motivation to save? And hopefully we'll begin that discussion as we continue through chapter 3, as we finish chapter 3 this morning, and as we start chapter 4 then next week. What is God's motivation to save? Open up, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. We'll begin where we left off last week in verse 26, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Let's go ahead and back up, though, to verse 26. Let's go back and back up to verse 24. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Him, in Jesus. Where then is the boasting? Is it excluded? By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is it God? Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. Do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law by faith. Let's pray. Father, I lift this time to You. Father, seeing all my weaknesses, Father, seeing all my inabilities, Father, seeing all my selfishness, Father, I lift this time to You, asking that it would be Your Spirit that would speak to us today. Father, our only hope is from You and Your Spirit. Father, our only promise is from You and Your Spirit. And our only hope today comes from the ever-living Word of God. So, Father, as we dissect this portion of Scripture today, Father, may You leave me out of it. May any baggage that I have brought this morning be left behind. And may Your Spirit speak through me to Your people. Change our heart, O God. Make it ever true. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Does God owe mankind salvation? It's a fair question, is it not? I mean, He created us. He put us in a position to where we could sin if we wanted to. And Adam did. So does God owe mankind a way of escape? I think as we traverse through the book of Romans, we're going to answer that question. We are not owed anything by God. But through His graciousness, He bestows salvation. As we looked at last week, we talked. I had to ask Ryan how my little example went. I thought it was pretty clever myself. Ryan was like, "Eh, it was okay." But that's Ryan. But remember, we said we have a rectangle, and we had a square, kind of. But if the Word of God were to declare both of these triangles, what would they be? Why? Because the Word of God would say so. And there's going to be many things that we see throughout this book of Romans that's going to make us scratch our head. And we're going to have to remember that because God's Word says something, it is true. Because either this book is 100% correct, or it is 100% false. There is no in-between. It's either right or it is wrong. And Paul has spent a good bit of the beginning of this book tearing into mankind, into our inabilities. And we saw last week that apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. So as the law was presented to man, not as a way of salvation, but rather as a way for us to see how we can never gain our own salvation, the righteousness of God showed through. And that was being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. So God, we talked last week, bestows faith upon us to have in Jesus Christ. Well, let's pick up in verse 26. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. One of the reasons, and I'll say the reason, as this will be unpacked over the next few weeks and maybe even months, of God's salvation for mankind is to display, or as verse 26 says, to demonstrate His righteousness. So God did not save me because of any good within me. Because if I can't find any, I don't think He can. God did not save me Because at some point in the past, he looked down and said, that Dan's going to be a pretty awesome guy. He's going to get up every week and he's going to speak to large numbers of people. So I will save him. No. The reason God gave salvation was to demonstrate his righteousness. As I was studying through this, and I haven't done a great job of developing this, so I'm just going to kind of mention it. But I'm brought to a book that I read years ago by John Piper called Desiring God. And in that book, he goes kind of far to this side and describes God in that everything God does benefits God. And at first off, when you think that way, you think, man, what a selfish God. But is it? Who matters? In all of creation, in all of outside of creation, what truly matters? God. In the beginning, before anything existed, what mattered? God. And God created the heavens and the earth with the ultimate purpose to demonstrate his righteousness. Why do we go through struggles today? Why do we have trials today? A dear brother this morning described some of his struggles that he's having. Are those struggles going to go away on their own? Probably not. But can God demonstrate his righteousness towards his child through what he's going through? God does not owe mankind anything. I would actually take the opposite approach and say that mankind owes God everything. I mean, we can breathe today, can we not? I mean, I can't fall into the notion that one time, billions and billions and billions of years ago, a little speck of nothing blew up and created the universe. And then there was one little planet that's the size of our Earth that came out of nothing, where some little amoebas started cohabitating together. An amoeba became two amoebas, and two amoebas became six protons, and seven protons became a lizard. Why are we laughing? I mean, guys, that is what's being taught today, how we got here. That is not taught anymore as theory. That is being taught as fact. But according to God's word, he created us. He created man, he created woman, and he gave us breath. I've used this before, I'll use it again, get used to it. There's nothing that amazes me more than a newborn baby. Nothing. Five fingers, five toes, fingernails, toenails, fingerprints, if you have a microscope and can. It's amazing. They are born out of their mother's womb. And with one smack on their behind, they begin to breathe all in a demonstration of God's righteousness. So that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. So he would be just. So he would be the justifier. When I go out and I proclaim the gospel to somebody, if they are truly saved, that is not a feather in my cap. If they are truly saved, they are the demonstration of the God who is just and the God who is the justifier. As we go through Romans, we're going to hit topics that we're not going to understand. I'm going to teach things that I don't necessarily understand. Square, circle, triangle. But that God's word says. Be prepared. Have an open mind. My words are not going to change anybody's mind. I don't want them to. I want God's word to change hearts and to change minds. Verse 27. Where then is boasting? Is it excluded? By what kind of law? Paul's asking a question here. Ryan, where is your boasting in salvation? Do you find yourself sometimes, though? I mean, do you realize how lucky you guys are to have me every week? I mean, my goodness. I mean, here's Jesus. Here's the Apostle Paul. Here's me. No. There's me. We can't boast. Well, I was smart enough to answer the call. Guys, I don't know if I could answer the call if it was thrown in front of my face, dumped in like a swirly in a toilet. I'm sorry. There is no boasting within us. It's not in the law. It's not in how good I am. It's not in what I've done. It's not there. It's not of works. It doesn't matter how many times I give money to people. It doesn't matter how many times I help someone out. It doesn't matter how much I sacrifice of my time and talents and finances. No, but by a law of faith. That's too easy, isn't it? So God has demonstrated his righteousness not in a law, not in works. But God gave me the ability to work. So that must be it. No. But by faith. Again, it's too easy. Doesn't make sense. How can we who are as bad as Paul described us in chapters 1 through the end of, or the middle of chapter 3, how can we obtain his righteousness from something that we see is so easy as faith? Verse 29. Or is the God of Jews only? Well, we've kind of answered that already, have we not? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? I mean, was there one God that created Jews and another God that created Gentiles? No. Was there one God that created the white man and another God that created the black man and the Latino man and the Asian man? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, is one. If we are to be saved in this world, and when I say that, I mean we as mankind as a whole. If we are to have reconciliation with the God that created us, it'll be God who justifies. Well, what can we do? I mean, God's awful busy, isn't he? I mean, God's got 7.5 plus other billion people to keep his eye on. I'm pretty insignificant. What can I do to help God? Good question, isn't it? I mean, what can I do to gain God's attention? I mean, sometimes it doesn't seem like this faith stuff works in my life. It definitely hasn't made me perfect. Has it made you perfect? I mean,
sure.
Maybe it's made me better than Ryan. But I don't know if it's made me as good as Bubba. Wrong filter. We're shooting at the wrong target. Last week, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We often describe that verse using a big target. A big target with a little red bullseye in the middle. And we say that we're shooting our arrows at the target. And that bullseye is God's glory. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We miss it every time. We fall short. We can't do it. Doesn't matter how much I jump up and down waving my hands at God. Look at me, look at me. We love God because God first loved us. We're not jumping up and down waving our hands at God. God has his eyes on us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't searching for God. We were sinners. We were sinners in need of somebody to search for us. And that's what he did. And we receive God's demonstration of his love to mankind, which is his righteousness, through the gift of his Son, who gives us faith by his grace. I honestly wish I lived this truth out more perfectly. And hopefully, the longer I'm in Christ, the more I am. But our faith, our Christian walk, is a lot like moving. I've had a lot of experience with moving lately. We cleared out 2 or 3 truckloads of furniture, threw away a dumpster full of stuff, and the closer I got to being done, the more little cubby holes I would open, and the further it would seem like I was away. That was horrible. But I will never be perfect here on earth. Because the closer I get in our sanctification, in my sanctification, the further away it seems I am, because I open one more cubbyhole in my heart and I clean out that cubbyhole and give it to God, and then I walk down into another room and there's another cubbyhole that needs work. But it's not the work that I do that pleases God. It's because God has given me his faith. It's because God has given me his righteousness. It's because God has opened the door of my heart to himself that I want to go on a cubbyhole hunt. Not so I'm a better person. Not so you all can come and pat me on the back and say, man, you're just a fine individual. No. So God's righteousness can be shown. It's all about him. Verse 31, do we then nullify the law through faith? I mean, is having faith, does that do away with all the law? Paul says, may it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. I mean, that's another thing that I have a hard time. That's another circle, square, triangle to me. If Christ did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, if the law had no bearing upon salvation ever, then can I not break the law and it doesn't matter? God forbid. We establish the law. The law of God, which in essence is God's attributes put out so we can understand him, we establish because Christ fulfilled. A lot of doctrine that we're going to be talking about. A lot of stuff that we're not going to quite be able to, it's like trying to break a quarter in your teeth. And there's a movement today where the church is told we don't need doctrine. Church just needs love. Well, without doctrine, we won't know how to love. Without the bad news of Romans 1, 2, and half of 3, we will never understand the good news of chapter 3 through the end of the book. Doctrine is not a bad word. Doctrine teaches us, another big word, theology. Another big word. But all theology is the study of God. When I married my wife some 35 plus years ago, I thought I knew her. I mean, we'd been dating for over a year. I knew everything about her at that point, didn't I? Well, if things would have stopped and I would have stopped communicating, I would have stopped asking questions, even if I would have stopped, never had a fight with her, I would never continue to learn about her. I mean, I loved her 35 years ago. I feel I love her more today because I know her more. As we continue to study God's Word, the more we get to know him, the more we will love him. I mean, it's not only truth, but it makes sense. Does it not? Why did God provide salvation? As a demonstration of his righteousness to mankind. If you've accepted Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, you are a demonstration of God's righteousness. If you're here today and you're lost, you've never bent your knee to him. If you're listening out there and that's you, God will then demonstrate his wrath. As was pointed out so very well in chapter 1, verse 18. Are you a product of God's righteousness this morning, or are you a product of his wrath? Let's pray. Father, help us to see you for who you are. But more importantly, help us to see ourselves as who we are. Father, you and you alone deserve the glory for everything. Lord, I stood up this morning as I got out of bed. You deserve glory for my ability to do that. God, there was a day where I responded to you. Lord, as my heart and eyes were opened to who you are and who I was. Father, you deserve the glory in that. Father, I pray that you would help us to walk this Christian walk in your righteousness. I pray that you would help us, Father, to keep the things of the Word foremost above and beyond the things of this world. Father, it's so easy to get sidetracked today. It's so easy to have our allegiances changed. Father, as we're seeing friends and brothers breaking those relationships, Father, teach us the ways of you. Teach us, Lord, to be men and women of heaven over and above men and women of this world. Lord, I can't talk anybody into anything. Father, sometimes I think I just get up here and ramble, so my words mean nothing. But Father, your living word and the words out of your word, that's what will change people through the power of your Holy Spirit. Change us, I pray, for it's in your name. Amen.
Let's turn to page 630, please, and stand. Thank you.
I close this morning with the words of a dear friend of mine, who I'm sure they're not his words. But if you are what you were, then you ain't. And if you claim to be a Christian and you are what you were, you ain't, because you're probably striving to do it in your own power, not in the faith through the redeeming work of Christ. Guys, that's the message that'll save our world. That's the message that will save our country. That's the message that will save our friends and family. Jesus Christ. Now, as we leave, just one more announcement. If you are planning on coming over to the house today, you know, my fear is it's going to be me and Tom and Emily. If you have them, bring like some camp chairs or something. So if you don't have them, that's fine. I think we went out yesterday and got chairs. So, but if you need directions, just grab me. Oh, if you want to escape easy, I suggest you can't park on Glenwood in front of the house, but Fair Oak on the side of the house is free to park. So I will be collecting $5 per car, though. But the driveway has room for six cars. So yeah, you'll never get out, because Bob, can you move your car again? I hope to see everyone.